Not sure if there's an evidence in archaeology.
We would read that if members can't make it, that they can sit also. So I think we can also do that.
Just can we get an explanation why last week's meetings were cancelled Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, please? And then also this afternoon in the House there's a special debate on the mining massacre that happened last week. Are we going to list that or are we going to go into the House? And then I have to leave here at 12:30. I've got a lunchtime appointment, which I have to leave. But I'll be back obviously in the afternoon. Please.
Yeah, we've got permission to sit throughout the day from the House Chair. So that's fine in terms of our apology for the lunchtime meeting. We had a bit of logistical issues with the joint sitting last week, and also at the last minute I was instructed that I had to attend a meeting in Johannesburg, so I actually couldn't make the Tuesday meeting, as well as I think the chairperson of the NCFP also had other engagements. And so with the issue that the joint sitting coming up and the other logistical issues we have problems. So we now approach the House Chairperson's office to ask that we get special compensation to deal with this matter once and for all, be excused from sitting and other obligations. So one challenge that we have is that the chairperson for the select committee, the NCFP, is also part of the Magistrates Commission. So because we have the arrangement, we will have our first meeting as a subcommittee of the committee, then we can actually
push
the summary. Members, you have the interview questions that have been drawn up by the content advisor, but we think members are also keen to formulate their own questions as long as not totally off. It's totally not related to what the interview is all about. So feel free to do that. We're going to start with, we've got quite a few members, candidates. As you remember, we need 12 board members and we have to look for candidates and every day. We're going to have a long day. So we are really behind schedule. And I do apologize for that. We're going to start with Dr. J. Makubule. And I just want members to keep to the time. See? Yeah, can you call the candidate? Is there a glass of a bottle of water for the candidate? Please? Just make sure that there's always a bottle of water. Dr. Makubule. In front of you is a little grey box that says microphone. So when you're going to address the committee, you can just say that. First of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Yolanda Borsa. I'm the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Social Development. I'm just going to ask the other members just to introduce themselves. I'll start with the honourable member on the left-hand side.
Thank you, Chair. I am not Ule Otome, President of the Portfolio Committee for Social Development. Thank you.
In terms of your candidacy of the CDO or CDA board, what kind of, you would explain in terms of the expertise, but what kind of value do you think you can add to the work of the Secretary of the Policy?
Thank you. This is work in three problems, which now the book is one. There are still talent, potential for us. Being a member of the CDA, you have, well, actually what I'm bringing on board is, I'm looking at the coordination of substance abuse in the province. Currently, because of the administration of the Act of 1996, the responsibility of us with the Department of Social Development, and in the view of other departments, since it is only the responsibility of only the Department of Social Development and other departments, not their
structure for us from the federal social development to the previous office so that it can have teeth to buy. As of now, you have this person coming in today, tomorrow it's gone, you have got this other person, there is no continuity to the service delivery. That's number one. Number two, the delegates to the project for us, by and large, what I've observed is these are the people who come from the wellness program in different countries. They are being directed or instructed to go and serve in the project for us. Without the power which they have to exercise when they are in the forum, there's nobody as well. Another challenge which I've observed, anyway, I'm coming from the road for before, and sometimes we are getting the problem free problem, we don't have problems on drugs. The focus has been in metropolitan areas, you know, we talk of Cape Town, we talk of Durban, we talk of Pretoria, Johannesburg, that's where the problems are, as if we don't have. There are serious problems of home food consumption in the rural areas. And one thing for sure, they have been under-sized. There is no one making noise about those things, which I think our own people. So these are the areas which I think we need to look into and make serious emphasis on.
Okay, thank you. Honorable Waters?
Thank you, Doctor, for that. I thought, just how you said, there's no current problem in the second last mile, then you rectified it. Doctor, as you know, many departments don't submit their annual, the mini drug master plan to the Central Drug Authority Board. How would you rectify that? What steps would be taken? And secondly, how would you ensure that the CDA is more accountable for the work that it's supposed to be doing?
It boils down to the point of centrality of this Central Drug Authority. The Act, Central Drug Authority came into being because of Act 3 of 1992. And the Minister of Social Services is the one who admitted it. And on that basis, other ministers had to account to CDA, which is admitted by the Minister of Social Development. So in my view, if, yes, we have Ministerial Committee on Substance Abuse, if this CDA can, in a way, be held somewhere like youth issues, like HIV and AIDS. You know, HIV and AIDS is the responsibility of the health department. But you have the ministry of what, in the president, there's something, a unit responsible for HIV and AIDS in the whole country. That will make it accountable. So that when they draw, all government departments, when they draw their strategic plan, they can draw their strategic plan in line with what CDA wants them to do. And other government will be able to report. But as of now, police or agriculture, it's not our responsibility. That's the responsibility of social work, the Department of Social Development. But if the location of this CDS, as we say, the Central Drug Authority, I'm not the English speaking person, but I always think about the centrality of this CDS. You get my point?
Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not that the department doesn't submit, they don't submit on time. So then the sense that the person doesn't submit the annual reports to us on time. So it is like a vicious cycle. Honourable Father?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Yes, I would just like to know, you were just talking about the problems in the rural area in Limpopo. And I would like to know, how do you think the TEA would be able to play a role to address those challenges?
Currently, CDA has got projects on project groupings. One is the merger forum, the second one is the youth provincial forum and local drug exchange committee. And I think there's no rural community where there's no municipality. We can make use of these municipalities as they report via the COFDA, especially which department they report to. The ministry which they are responsible for. So for us to get into rural areas, we make use of municipalities wherever they are, because that's where these committees are, and you know, local packaging committees. And in that way, I have got a feeling that getting to rural communities will be much easier, because everything will be coordinated at a local municipal level, at a wide level, and we build up into the provincial level, and then we would be able to report up to the CDA and ultimately to Parliament.
apply to?
Issue of concoction is quite a challenge. Honorable.
children. That's the issue. South Africa has established an act of parliament prevention and treatment of drug dependence. What does the act seek to achieve? And according to the act, what are the powers and functions of CDA?
The act explains to government to stipulate here in section 2 to establish the act with regard to the establishment and functions of the Central Drug Authority. And its main primary functions are to carry out the, or give effect the initial drug master plan. That's what the CDA has to do. To play an advisory role to the Minister of Social Development in the sense that, you know, when you look at Western Cape, they have numerous treatment centers in the province compared to Limpopo. So the CDA should be able to advise the Minister that there is no province in South Africa which is drug free or no problem of drugging. We don't have even a single treatment facility in Limpopo. And that doesn't mean that we don't have problems of driving. There's too much expenditure of transporting people from Limpopo to Gauteng and other problems. As if we are, maybe because we have got a church here, which I belong to, and people think that, no, there's no problem in the electricity there. We do have problems of driving. Another function of the CDA is to plan the activities, to coordinate the activities, and to promote activities which are acting existent with regard to the prevention and treatment of substance in the country. Another function of the CDA is to review the National Drug Master Plan, because it's not there for life, it's not a lifelong document. It has to be changed to adapt to the conditions in which we South Africans are living in. We are a rainbow nation, we are ever changing, so it has to talk to us, as it is our document, so it has to be written after 5 years. And then one other function is, because CDA, with the Department of Social Development, they organize conferences, biannual conferences, to arrange that conference, so that people from all walks of life, some of them are from the rural province of Limpopo, come and say, there are challenges in Limpopo. So those are the functions of the CDA.
Well, thank you.
Is there any other honourable member that would like to ask a question? Could you just put your mic off to start it because we're recording proceedings? Yes, that's obviously the last round. Honourable Waters?
Doctor, you mentioned some of the functions that the CDA is expected to perform and give effect to the National Drug Master Plan and coordinate activities. In your view, do you think the current board and if you don't answer, what do you think could be improved upon to ensure that the CDA actually achieves the functions that it's supposed to achieve?
This is a quite a difficult question. I'm not used to this kind of gadget. It's a quite a difficult question to say the current CDA board is not up to scratch. To me, so far, because I have read their annual report, they've done something. They've arranged, for instance, by annual conferences. There are 9 provincial forums up and running, though they are challenging. There are local direction action committees in the country, though they are not enough or they are not well funded, as we do have a problem of budget, for instance. They've done something, but we need to take it further to say this is a cross-cutting problem. It should not be seen as an individual problem. It's a problem affecting everyone in the country. Your child tomorrow may be taking a bath. Think about that child. Thank you.
Any other member? Does you want to put it? No? Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Marco Pella. Yeah, sorry about that. been quite a lively interview. And as you heard, the members are quite interested in the issue of such companies. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your water with you.
Oh,
a bottle of water. We just want to get your bottle of water. Because you have chosen. Oh, you have. Is all the water treated?
Maybe.
Good morning, Mr. Kruger.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Kruger. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Welcome to the interview. I want to introduce the members of the committee to you quickly. I'm sure that we've met each other. I'm the voice of the chairperson of the Charter Committee on Social Development, and I'm going to start with a member of my house.
Good morning, I'm Mike Waters from the National Assembly.
Good morning, my name is Philip Father, and I'm from the Select Committee of the NCSC.
Good morning, my name is Peter Pike from the National Council of Parties.
I'm Tao Lokman, NCOP.
I'm Nicola Botome, National Assembly, Segment of Performance of the Social Development.
Mr. Kruger, let's start with this interview you telling us a bit about yourself and why you think that you would be a suitable candidate for the Central Government.
Thank you.
Switch over there. There's a little box with this microphone. Just press
it.
It says microphone. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the invitation. It's quite a privilege to be here. About myself, I was trained as a social worker, and I've worked in the field as a junior social worker for many years at the Department of Health and Welfare then, where I worked a lot with think we need to be always aware with what is coming onto the market, to make sure that we are on top of what's in the drugs and what effects it has on individuals. I think that's really important in terms of the drugs and also to create awareness in terms of the drugs in a very responsible way, making communities aware of the effects of these drugs.
Thank you very much. Taking into account your 26 years experience in the field, can you safely say in this committee that the current policy on drugs is actually an effective tool to address the substance abuse challenge?
Policy that you referred to is the National Drug Master Plan.
Yes.
Thank you. It looks very comprehensive. I'm quite convinced that with this plan we can go for the next 5 years and make an impact in terms of this document. So, yeah, I think it's a document that's very good.
Honourable Powers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Kruger, I'd like to know if you were appointed, they say, what would you bring to the work of the CDA, but what would you do to actually improve the working of the operation of the CDA? What would you do to improve that? If you were appointed.
It's a very difficult question, and not being there, but I think, you know, firstly, look at the business plan of the CDA. You must first go to the Act, see what responsibilities are, then work that into the business plan and see to it that you fulfill the obligations that is set out in that document. Like I said, from my side, I think that I can contribute in terms of the knowledge and experience that I do have, it's not about a person, it's also about a team that must implement this national drug policy.
Thank you, Honourable Waters.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Kruger. Mr. Kruger, how would you ensure that the CDA is taken more seriously as a body? I mean, you currently have departments that submit their mini drug master plan very late. And so on that aspect, how would you ensure that the CDA is taken more seriously there? But on the flip side, with the implementation of the National Drug Monitoring Plan, how would you ensure the CDA actually fulfills its obligations and ensure that it is actually implemented?
I think one of the problems with the CDA is the lack of teeth. That it's not being taken seriously because there are no penalties if you may, you act. And I think those are one of the things that need to be investigated. What type of teeth can we give this Central Drug Authority to, with authority, implement the National Drug Master Plan? That's the only way. And I think if you look at that, you need to involve all the powers that
problem. Thank you. I believe that the problem all over the country, that most of the jobs that are getting into the country are not manufactured jobs in South Africa. What kind of role do you think CDA can play to reduce the volume of the new drugs entering the country? And in terms of coordination with the Department of Justice, the police and whoever, what role do you think CDA can play a major role to do that? This program for the drugs don't get into the country.
I think the CDA needs to be in the first place aware of drugs coming into the market, so keeping your finger on the pulse in terms of what is entering the country, what do we observe with people reporting for services. So once we know that, it's really important to take that information to the CDA and the departments involved with policing the supply control side of the National Drug Master Plan to agree with those departments on how to prevent this influx and how to address it. Like we had with TIP in the recent tape, where ephedrine was identified as being too available, and then certain restrictions were imposed to prevent the manufacturing of TIP.
Mr. Pillay,
would
you like to in terms of your experience in the treatment and prevention of such this concern. If you look at the institution in the country, all that Aurora Center in Bonita, what is the most should I say most popular abused substance that your patient suffered from? What is the effect of the center? And linked with that is the aftercare services that they have. Is there a body or efficient? And do you think the CDA could play a role in filling that void or looking with it?
In this state, like I say, we are a bit different maybe to other big cities. Our main problem is alcohol. About 67% of our patients are from alcoholism. Secondly, it's cannabis or kaffa. And thirdly, cocaine, which is used a lot in the free state. That's about the profile of our patients. Another important thing that we realized, we in 2015 we had to start a new treatment center, so the ages are getting younger, more and more children being admitted. We started very slow with that and eventually it picked up, and we quite busy in terms of the new treatment center as well.
What's the average age of youth?
What's the average age of youth at the center? The youngest. Let's start with the youngest, and then we go to the average age.
The youngest, I think we have admitted, was 12 years, and the average age, I would say, about 50, 60 years of age. As far as aftercare is concerned, we do run a number of aftercare services. We put one for the family members of patients. We have one for patients themselves. We have a youth aftercare group
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. It was quite a lively interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the opportunity.
If it's not here, get me to wait. Let's get the next candidate.
Thank you.
Buffalo Worcester for Canada? To the private shop.
Engagement.
you. Honorable Waters.
Thank you, Reverend. Reverend, there's been some criticism that the CEA doesn't have enough teeth and it's not taken seriously, the board. And we've seen over the past few years departments submitting their reports late or their many drug master plans late. How do you intend to ensure that the board is taken more seriously?
Thank you. I think there should be the investigations that has to be implemented, and then actually manage and ensure that they do the things that have been discussed or got in the business way. Because sometimes the business way you can't indicate where and how and who is to go, would be also having a problem with the cooking, then there is also a problem of the creative work, and will end up not continuing the way it is expected.
Honourable
Thank you, Madam Chair. Reverend, I would just like to know, according to the Act, what would you say is the governance functions of the CEA, in your own words?
I beg your pardon?
Reverend, yes, according to the Act, the powers and the functions of the CEA, if you would explain it in your words, how would you sum it up?
Okay, thank you very much. According to how I know, the CEA is a structure that's almost given the framework for the National Drug Master Plan, and that framework or the plan of actions, the CEA to implement, and then the services of the businessmen that was given by the National Drug Master Plan. And therefore, the role of the CEA is to control and then and monitor the program and then and also evaluate and manage also the program or the business plan given by the international. And therefore also the CEA have to come up with a plan of actions to the provincial establishing some of the what we call this provincial program, managing those provincial programs, managing also the local selection committees. And then and also the CEA is their responsibility to ensure that all the provinces, all the government departments has to report and with the achievement and the activities that they are doing. And then also has to advise maybe the minister
then beside that, there is a what is called this, the business plan that needs to be continued and then to implement it. So now, this the Act of 20 of 1992, it also implies as that now, people need to be the healthy lifestyles. And again, this Act of 20 of 1994, it's also helps people and then with the services, guide people with the services that they have. You remember that now is what we call this the affective services among our provinces, because the treatment or halfway houses services that need to be delivered. There is what we call the intervention services. So all those packages, including the halfway houses that need to comply with the laws and standards and so on. So now the Act also helps us to guide, to give people a guidance on that, and also engage people to empower people to continue with the program that they have. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I see you've been involved in counseling. The reason that you are the right player in the conflict. But in your interaction with the communities, the impact of the news that are coming out from the now place, Wunga, and perhaps there may be other new ones. On the poor community, what difference you find from this of the old one, like alcohol, bungee, bungee is marijuana, and then those that were affected have been there and grown up. And then now there are new ones. And then there's something that is used to mean antiretrovirus, putting something into antiretrovirus and so on. So what is the impact of these new ones that you see?
Okay, thank you very much. You know, I came from two states whereby the challenge is only the Daha, big access to us, and then Yahoo, when the Wonga, and then as far to us, when the wedding was experiencing. But if you compare, there is what we call this, the latest one, the Haba. Yeah. There is from us, the challenge is that from all schools in our society, they use it and then they just smoke it and so on. And what is happening, after they've been smoked, some of them, dropped out to their schools, and they not attending their school very well. And then the Wunga, we only hear it in the administration from the government and also in the county. But to add the impact that we have noticed to us, there are a lot of the against arguments that we have to normally see things. And then what we have done to us is that now we have managed to use some mechanism of inviting them to different sessions and
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Reverend, in the entire country, in urban and rural areas, there are current also farm vessels and farm other vessels. People are killing each other there, they're not secured. When people are drowning, they just get murdered. What, and having heard you say that you're part of the conference in Durban, the recommendations that were made there, what role do you think the UK can play in making it a point that the recommendations are addressed and implemented and by any chance made laws so that the drug abuse in the country can be more controlled than ever? And the third question, my last question, is what role do you think the churches can play in changing the situation in the country now that you are the reverend and you are the chairperson of the Council of Churches in the country?
Thank you very much. Going back to the last questions, what we have done last time after the second Bayas summit, we go back to our council and encourage and influence the needs of the different churches with 205 church churches, and to ensure that now those resolutions from the final summit we implement. And then what we have done, we also encourage some ministers to ask that now to preach, to ensure that now sometimes a month, twice or three times, they should have preaching that's relevant to our modern needs. And then we took that initiative after we released the resolutions from the minister. And then again, just to know that our churches is also empowering, is also working with the modern sometimes. And then we managed to have a council within our country that people, certain people have been initiating some of the external actions that we can deal with this matter of reducing the problem of substance in our community. And then that program is also manageable in the quarterly meetings and so on and so on. And it's also reported to our meetings to ensure that in which areas that have the problem of substance abuse and what can be done. And then going back to the second question. The second thing I'm saying with the resolution that we have gained last time for asking the community, we went straight to the local practicing community. We draft the plan of action so that now we can see what we can do with this matter. We have heard that now there are some other resolutions that we got, especially the age limit. And we remember that now there were some these issues of the increase in the age limit of the learners of our children, 18 years to 21. So we are still awaiting the national now to come up with to amend. But from us, what we have done is we have searched all the tabernacles that are not legal, and then we identified it, because now we have engaged all the stakeholders in our community. For example, the SFPS, that has working hand in hand. We managed even to close that legal tavern that are not legal, because there are some other tavern that we are also waiting 24 hours. And sometimes we were not even having powers to control, but now, waiting hand in hand, the 23-day immediate substitute may then help us to identify what are those unique and something like what are those bottles for that are not really complying with the law. So it's and with that to the resolutions we have been they have been making us aware that now we should continue have the plan of actions that now every quarter is managed according, and every month we just ask people for the reporting and indicating which are those new things, maybe new substances that are there, and which are the problem in our community. And then they are still reporting even until now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members would like to thank you very much, Reverend. It's been quite an interesting interview. Listening to your responses and views are also just a great
thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Members, would you like to take a 5 minute call, sir? Yes. 5 minutes? We get the
Thank you.
Good morning. Yeah. We have a Mr. Rashid Tango with us this morning. Welcome. My name is Yolanda Dorsa. I'm the chairperson for the Petroleum Committee on Social Development. I'm the chairperson of the in the National Assembly. And with me today we also have a member of the Petroleum Committee. So I'm going to start with Honourable Walter on my right to introduce himself.
Good morning, I'm Mark Walters and I'm from the National Assembly.
Good morning, my name is Willem Faber and I'm from the National Council of Provinces.
Sipho Blakey from Council of Provinces.
Honourable. We have another member with us on board, Malcolm Yali, with the German Shorter. Can you just switch off your mic when we are speaking so that there is no echo?
Sorry,
Mr. Members of the article. Mr. Tanga, could you tell us a bit about yourself and also why you applied to be candidate for the CBA board, and then maybe also just bring into it your experience that you are bringing to the CBA if you are a successful candidate?
Thank you very much. First of all, my qualification. During my studies, I found myself working in a different house in the graph project in the administration center. And that was during that time when I found myself knowing more and experiencing much about graphs, abuse, graph substances, and treatment. During this time, I've experienced much, and I have been doing a lot of research about drugs and young people. As a result of that, I found myself publishing one of my books, which was entitled Drugs Are Invaded. It's also been written in the Tibetan language and entitled Mahadandi Amrani. The main aim of the book was just to share the knowledge and also the research which I gained in an academic context on youth and drug abuse. The book tries to answer more questions about drug abuse and substance abuse. I found myself also in doing the radio talk shows with FM. That's where I happened to be involved in drugs prevention programs on albums called the show was called the afternoon drug show.
money to monitor the implementation of the national drug master plan, and also to make sure that the CDA is coordinated with the other stakeholders such as the provincial forum and the local committees, and also to facilitate the integration of the work of different departments. The CDA's duties also is to report to the parliament through the Minister of Social Development. The CDA is aligned with the provincial forums and also with the local drug action committee. The CDA is facilitate and coordinate a limited number of projects, and also a rationalization of existing resources, and also to seek to make sure that it monitors it, effective use. I would say also that the CDA continues to encourage the different departments of government and also the private sector to draw up more of its plans in order to combat the drug problem in South Africa. The CDA is review and monitor the psychoactive substance abuse project and also program. It establishes and monitors the information system and also submits annual reports to the parliament through the social development. That would affect the functions and the duties of the CDA.
Honourable Father.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Achitanga, I would like to know on accountability. Regarding the accountability of the CDA, what would you do to ensure that the CDA accounts for its work? Because, you know, they have to account.
Mm.
What would you do to ensure that it actually happens?
First of all, the CDA is a statutory body which was established by the Prevention and Treatment of Substance Abuse and the Dependency Act of 1992. And I will just make sure that the CDA make sure that it's abided by the Act, and also outline the procedures with regards to the management of the CDA. I can make sure that the CDA promotes a good relationship with the various stakeholders, such as the provincial forum and the local committees. I can make sure that for CDA to account for its work, there is an ethics accountability within the organization itself. I can make sure that the CDA to account for its work, there is an administration accountability within the secretariat itself, and also to make sure that it maintains its standards of professionalism. I can make sure that for CDA to account for its work, which is operating in accordance with the National Drug Master Plan for it to account for the work.
Honorable Pikes.
Taking into account the extensive research we have conducted, what devastating implication the substance abuse claim is being dropped out, divorced, and violent in community. And what mitigation role do you think CBA will play to assist in this?
First of all, the sessions have made for based on the drug abuse and the substance abuse prevention. And then I can make sure, I mean, the CDA can also just make sure that they conduct the many researches, not just researches, I mean, the campaigns to, and of course, so that the police systems are not better. Lecturers in schools can be also used in schools.
Thank you.
attempts to doctors in order to assess whether they are suitable of the procedure. And also, we send them for the treatment and the test to determine which drug they might be using. So that the issue of certification is certainly not. And also, the issue of drug education awareness and abuse.
Thank you. Any member would like to ask for a question? Supply team? Thank you very much, Mr. Asitanga, for coming to the interview. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mr. Chuan. Let me start this interview by introducing myself and the rest of the audience members. I'm Miranda Bursa. I'm chairperson for the Public Media Social Development. And then on my left, of the audience members to introduce yourself.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm Miranda Bursa. I'm the National Assembly.
Thank you. The experience that I've had has been both inpatient, outpatient, prevention, training, and community development, all in the field of substance abuse, as well as in the state rehabilitation center, so working with involuntary patients as well. That, of course, is the experience of colleagues work. So, in a nutshell, it really is the experience. Madam Chair, I'm very happy that you changed it as perfect to your right candidate, because I certainly would never be a perfect candidate. Having served for this team of office promising EA, I think that one gets to grips with quite a number of challenges, which some of which still exist and need to be looked at. But I do believe that the knowledge and experience which I have both at a practical level and at a theoretical and policy level does stand me in good stead to make a contribution to what I consider a very huge problem in this country, and one about which I have been passionate from the very day that I started working in this field, and I still do.
Thank you. Honourable Bowman.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to ask a question. What role do you think the CBA has to play in changing the situation in the country on substance abuse? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I think the role that the CBA has is a very responsible one, and in terms of the mandate, the CBA should be monitoring, well, implementing the National Drug Master Plan, first of all, making sure that gets implemented at all levels. But the most important part is monitoring and evaluating the situation in all communities to make sure that that is happening. And in order to do that, efforts do need to be intensified with regard to the forming of local drug action committees, particularly in areas where there are no services at all, and also mobilizing the community, because we do not have the money, nor the other resources, human resources, for example, to have the luxury of every little organization doing their own thing. So I think that the other very big role for the CEA is the one of integration and coordination of services.
Thank you, Honourable Makunyane.
I think we've been waiting quite a long time in treatment and dealing with the substance abuse problem. What do you see the root cause of this problem of substance abuse in our community?
I wish I knew and had an easy answer to that question. I think that the answer really is quite a complex one because of the complex nature of addiction. There are the theories, of course, that say that this is genetic and partly, yes, but very partly, certainly not in totality. I think there are lots of social causes. There is learned behavior. And then there's also the environment in which people grow up and so on. I mean, if you think, for example, if we take the young people and you consider an environment where there's very little to do except use drugs or drink or party or do whatever, then I think that is a really big danger. So it's a complex interplay of factors, as well as other factors, of course, like personality factors. Some have been identified. For example, children with absent fathers, not necessarily from divorce, but absent fathers who, some of whom are very important, very highly paid businessmen, and are absent emotionally. For example, there are children who don't have skills such as problem-solving skills, such as self-confidence. So it's a multifaceted problem which you cannot address by just honing in on the crime aspect. So it's not only a sex problem. It's not only a science problem. It's not only a social development problem. It's everybody's problem because it is so multifaceted. And if you think about it, a lot of other social ills, such as crime, such as domestic violence, etc., is directly related to substance abuse. You know, so one's got to take it from a multi-pronged approach involving everybody, including the community. I always say substance abuse is everybody's business. So I'm sorry, but I can't give you one answer or one response. But for me, it will be a completely different thing.
On the reply, please.
Yeah, this is Victoria. One of the challenges faced by CBA is the non-compliance by government departments and provinces to submit their plan to address substance abuse to the city. What measures do you think need to be taken to improve compliance?
Because it hasn't been seen, one of the major problems that we've had, and not only at a national level, but at a provincial and a local level as well, if one is to be totally honest about it. When one speaks to people in the different departments, quite often people will say they don't understand exactly what it is that the National Drug Master Plan is, that the Provincial Drug Master Plan is. So I think that what we do need to do is intensify our, not only our awareness, but provision of knowledge to the other departments of exactly what this is and why it's important to that particular department, and how it's all going to fit together at the end of the day. Because I understand from people that I've spoken to that is really where the problem seems to lie, that non-compliance. It's seen as just another thing they must do. They don't see it as a critical part of their role. So that is one way of doing it. And secondly, by more involvement in different activities of the different departments. So if you're having an international day on the 26th of June, then the local drug action committee or the province needs to coordinate that and say to all the departments, come on transport, come on education, let's all get in this together. And the more people become involved and the more knowledgeable they are about their role, the easier it becomes for them and the more committed, hopefully, they will become.
Honourable Father.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to know, regarding accountability, what would you do to ensure that the CBA counts for its work?
There are two parts to this. The first part is that I think that one of the major challenges that we have faced has been around administration. And we need to strengthen the administration within the CBA, which will immediately increase the accountability. In the sense that I think attempts at accountability, for example, in a documenting and reporting and so on, it needs to have the strength of a very good administrative process. So we need to strengthen that first of all to improve our accountability. And I say ours because I'm part of that. And I'm part of the non-accountability as it were. So I think that we need to strengthen that. And secondly, I think the parameters and the actual structure for the demand for measures of accountability need to be made very clear. And I think that we need to be helpful for those. I'm not sure how one does that, but certainly one does need to have the information in place to do that. Because I think that that would be a great relief to many people who have served on the current CBA as well. Because accountability, there's no doubt, is very important. And so much really good work is gone on, for which I think we underfill ourselves. And so I do think that the CBA sometimes makes a mistake by not putting everything in and tending to do exactly what it is that we have been doing.
Thank you, Honourable Rogers.
Thank you. You talked about, you said in your opening remarks, as challenges facing the CBA, and then in the reply to the first question, you said the responsibilities of the CBA should be to do A, B, and C, which I take it they're not doing, maybe not to the fulfillment of the Act, or, but you used the word should be, so I get the impression that they're not, the board currently is doing that. How would you, what steps could be taken by the new board to ensure that the CBA gets some authority and some teeth to ensure that it does it for its mandate, that it should be done for its mandate next time you come before this committee and say it has for this mandate? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. First, if I can start with the first part first. Yes, I did say it should be, because I don't believe that the mandate has been fully. We haven't accomplished the mandate fully. We haven't looked after it. fully and we have implemented it fully. Whether any board would ever be able to fulfill a mandate in totality, I don't know. However, I do think one should strive towards that. Now, part of not fulfilling the mandate relates to questions that have been asked around not being able to engage at all the departments in that. So that is part of our mandate, which we have been unable to do. So part of strengthening the way going forward would be the engagement of other departments in the way that I've already commented on. And, because that to a large extent would enable us to get the local drug action committees going, to get people involved in the different provinces and communities and so on. And at the end of the day, that really is what we have to do and make sure that the National Drug Master Plan is carried out. And it's only in that way that you'll be able to do it. So for me, it's possible, but I don't know whether any board would say we have fully completed our mandate, because you always discover more things that need to be done.
Mr. Joy, what is your views around harm reduction?
As you know, harm reduction at the moment is a very contentious issue in this country. My view is that we are in a position at the moment where we have to formulate a position on harm reduction. The rest of the world has positions on harm reduction. There is, I know it has not been confirmed, but there is definite talk that the next harm reduction conference is to be held in this country. And if we are to host that, then most certainly we will need to have a very well formulated and very strong position on harm reduction. We cannot hide our head in the sand and pretend that there is no such thing as harm reduction, and we do have to join the rest of the world on this. However, harm reduction need not necessarily mean what we all think it does immediately. You know, when you say harm reduction, everybody thinks needle exchange or like they have in some countries where where they actually test your drug thieves to make sure that they're pure, where they have a shooting up room in churches in some of the countries. Yeah. So I don't necessarily think that we're anywhere near that, nor that we should even think about that at this point. What I do think is that we should open a dialogue on harm reduction right now so that we can come to some kind of agreement as to what kind of definition of harm reduction we will have for our country. Our country is not the same as every other country in the world. It is not. We also have different patterns of abuse. We also have different substances that are abused. So harm reduction for me is an element of harm reduction prevention, because you preventing harm is an element of harm reduction in treatment. So there's a continuum from primary prevention to secondary prevention to your treatment or early intervention at outpatient level to your inpatient, and then at the right at the end of the continuum you have your substitution therapies such as your methadone, those kinds of medications. Whether one ever would go to the road of the other more extreme harm reduction methods, I don't know. But for me, it is a continuum, and it would be very important to open that debate right now and get all parties on board.
Members, do you want to ask more questions? Honourable Makamiani.
What do you think the media played in promoting the substance abuse culture?
To a large degree, the media glamorizes substance abuse, for example, alcohol. I know we don't have as much alcohol as it had in the war, etc., which is a good thing. But, you think about the advertisements for all the courts for things like alcohol or cigarettes, they're very glamorous. It looks lovely. It looks good. It looks like people are enjoying themselves. And this is what attracts children. The other role that media does play is the whole quick fix thing. We live in a world now where everything's very quick, and we don't have time for things. So if you have a headache, it's a pill to take for that. That's drunk. If you have a cough, there's cough mixture to take. If you want to get thin, there's pills to take. If you want to put on weight, there's pills to take. So there there's a quick fix promotion in everything. So for me, the media is very, very important. And you do get a lot of sensationalizing, you know, around the whole drug issue. So that children disassociate and young people disassociate. The media will show you all the really bad things that happen. And children know, young people know, that lots of people drugging things are banned. Lots of people smoke that and don't go psychotic. You have got to give people facts and retain their credibility while giving them exactly what the dangers are and equipping them to make their own decisions. So the media plays a very, very important part. And irresponsible media reporting really has led to a lot of depression.
Thank you. Any other members?
The key motor campaign, how effective do you think it is?
The Kamoja campaign has had a fairly long history. It's got off to a huge bang here in the recent case and so on. The measurement and the evaluation of, and analysis of the results of that campaign, I'm not aware that they've been widely publicized, nor that there is a study properly carried out on that. However, what I do know is that there is a move afoot now in Kamoja to get it going again. Rejuvenate the Kamoja, but there is a different emphasis now. There is a definite emphasis on skills on a longer period of time. So it is not like a one-off big awareness thing, which we all know worldwide doesn't work. It's not just Kamoja, it's any campaign that works like that. But where there is a campaign which looks at giving people skills and looks at giving people knowledge and a factual base on which to make a decision, am I or aren't I going to choose the lifestyle? Then I would say we have a good element of hope. But we do have to have an evaluation tool, and we must be able to measure outcomes. And as a colleague of mine was going to say, not just say we address 35,000 people or 40,000 people or 100,000 people, but say we have done this work and this was good for those particular people. So if we're going to see that,
okay. Any more questions from members? Before? Thank you very much, Mr. Troy, for coming. It's been quite an interesting meeting.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Can you take your water with you?
Thank you.
Okay, we have Yes, you can bring in the next candidate. Is it Bella? Don't you have a file? Oh. We gave you those tick file. Everyone has it. What's it for? No, that's not true. I've had my own file. Thank you.
previous committee, but that's just that it's quite cold. And we've got honourable members here today that part of the select committee for social services in the NTFP, as well as the social development policy committee in the National Assembly. So I'm going to start on my left to ask the honourable members to introduce herself and then go on to the other.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Nongkula Kotona, in the National Assembly, President of the Popular Women's Social Development. Thank you.
I'm Thabo Mokonyane, Province of Kopo, as in the National Council of Provinces.
I'm Sipho Plaiki, I am in the Council of Provinces.
My name is Donald Fogger, and I also serve in the National Council of Provinces.
Good morning, I'm Michael Waters, and I'm in the National Assembly.
Thank you very much, honourable members. This is Mr. Berman. Started this interview by you telling us a bit about yourself and why you think that you would be a suitable candidate to serve in the CDA board. By doing that, what kind of experience and innovation would you bring to a new year? Would you bring to the CDA board? Okay, there's a gray, there's a little box. It's his microphone. It's on. You just switch it off.
Okay.
So when it's red, just press it again. There you go. It's on.
My name is Vivino. I'm Octavia in Harare in Dodla. I have experience about more than maybe close to 35 years. I work with a practitioner for children and families for 12 years. And I have practical experience when working with families and children. And then the last part of my career as well, because I turned 60 and looking forward to retiring. I also practiced as a social worker again in the last 4 years. My other experiences, when I was a project for Santa National, as a student supervisor as well as social worker. And then also manage a project in Mamelodi as well as in the Northwest. In the same field of substance abuse. And another highlight is that I also I was a coordinator of the global initiative, which was aimed for the prevention of for prevention of substance abuse among young people of South Africa. The project was funded by WHO. I was a coordinator for 9 projects that were funded by WHO between 2001 to 2003. Part of my duties was to do the initial assessment, participatory assessment, and I was involved in the whole project cycle, starting from training the participants, and training them helping them through and to get the assessment implementation, formulation of objectives and implementation of the, you know, the, those objectives, monitoring and evaluation as part of the coordinator for the COVID-19 project. And what else? Okay. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Honorable Waters?
Thank you, Mr. Pumbelo. Is that right?
Yes.
Zodwa, what do you think the roles and the functions and responsibilities of the board are?
It has got to oversee and monitor the implementation of the, of the objectives of the project that has been implemented. Okay, you asked me what I've only given you what I've done from my experience, and then you also wanted to know what my contributions would be. You know, as a practitioner at the rehab center, even before I worked for the rehab center, I've always, we've always had that, that passion for prevention, because part of the project of the Global Initiative project was to prevent substance abuse among young people. You know, I've seen that we saw that even now, I've seen the enthusiasm when we talk about it with the youth making it too. That they really need some way, to grow when they leave the institution. We always talk about, we say you have to formulate, before you go out, you have to formulate a care plan, which includes, increasing social network when you are out there. But it's very difficult to make them understand what we're talking about, because out there, although the youth is so energetic and so willing, to have something going for themselves out there, it is not yet possible. I think part of the reason is that attention is given to aftercare. When we speak about aftercare, it is so scanty, and we realize that there is so much energy that we are not harnessing from the youth out today. Maybe it's because of the funding, maybe it's because of the lack of, less time that we spend with the youth out there, giving them knowledge and, and really energizing, trying to harness the energy that they have. And we don't have enough time to spend with the youth to create structures that would help the other youth when they come out of the institution. And they always tell us that it is very difficult for them. Some of them tell us they are scared to go out because there's nowhere to go to. And we always preach to them that they must avoid places, things, and people. But then where do they have to go? So this is what my passion is going to be, to mobilize, the structures among the youth. Because we know we are very interested in the youth, the leaders.
Robert.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Gerdo, I'd like to know. Did I say that? Okay. Sorry for the pronunciation if I have this. But I would like to know regarding accountability of the CEA. What would you do to ensure that the CEA accounts for its work? What in your words, how would you be able to help that be done at the end of the day?
Some of the CEA duties is to oversee and make sure that the implementation of the objective takes place. I think we need to create some mechanisms on how to, to report back and how to monitor, and be accountable, The mechanism has got to be created. I mean, to make it easy for the central trust authority to be able to report back to account on what on how the objectives are being implemented. And that is not only all the stakeholders that will be responsible. We have to help to come up with that framework to make it easy for the central trust authority to
Honourable
Clarke. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Kumbel, what are the key issues affecting families and community regarding drug and substance abuse?
Key issues. As I said, I'm working in the retail. I think the most important thing is giving information to the families to be able to involve them in the in the rehabilitation or in the rehabilitation of a child that has been on the treatment, or helping a child who is starting to to misbehave. I think knowledge, information is very, very, very important. And that is why maybe it would be very, as part of the integration, I think the families need to be, to be mobilized and informed on what to do when they, that they realize that the problem is starting at a prevention, and if a child comes from a treatment center, how to help support that child. I mean, just to increase the type of support that the child needs. And besides the family. The family, and if there are young children in the family, I think they should also play a big part there. And we do, in the rehab, we do have, just a minimal involvement of the family, but I don't think it's enough. We could both have and maybe mobilize groups of families, just to, to give them knowledge on how to play, on how to protect their children.
Okay.
Thank you. In the area of substance abuse and institutional substance abuse, there are some key policy issues that are being debated in this matter. Can you maybe just explain to us and
talking of prevention, and yet you think that prevention is better than cure. And another, I think harm reduction should also be given on priority. And the other, and I think the criminal justice should also try and, you know, play a bigger role in this.
Thank you. Honourable Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. Members of the Bureau, as per our understanding, the 38 was established as a result of an Act of Parliament, Prevention and Treatment of Drug Dependency. What does the Act seek to achieve? And according to the Act, what are the powers and functions of the DA? Thank you.
The powers and functions of the CDA is to oversee the implementation of the objectives of the master plan. Okay, which is which uses a multi-sectoral approach. Yeah, this is multi-sectoral approach. And also make sure that the most vulnerable have access to services, that is, of prevention, treatment, intervention. And then it also makes provision. The Act also makes it possible for the, you know, for the development of an establishment of services with regard to substance abuse. It also makes provision for the admission of people into treatment centers.
Is there any more questions? Mr. Makuniani.
Do you think the decriminalization of cannabis sativa would help in preventing such things?
Well, it may help in a certain way, but what I believe in is more information, and to make people understand more what is what are the, you know, the negative effects of using substances. I think it information is more important.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mutabela, for the interview. It's been quite interesting listening to your experience that you have. Just put your microphone, please. Switch off the microphone. Switch off. For the vast experience that you have in treatment and prevention. Thank you very much.
Thank you. to dance with now.
No. Is there water? Is there water? Someone?
Good morning,
Dr. Everett.
Good morning.
Welcome to interview the fantastic CDA, I'm sure. You're well acquainted with the process. This is a combined subcommittee of two houses. So I'm just going to ask everyone to introduce himself, and I'll start with
Good morning, I'm Mike Waters from the National Assembly.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, my name is Bill Farber, I'm from the National Council of Provinces.
Morning, my name is Sipho Blakey, I'm from Council of Provinces.
My name is Thabo Mokuyan, from Limpopo, from the National Council of Provinces.
I'm Nongoria Bokume, International Center, serving the working of the Thank you.
Dr. Eberman, you are currently serving on the CDA board, and you've been with the CDA board for quite some time. So, we can't ask you the same questions you've asked the other candidates, because they haven't served on the CDA board. But maybe what you can do is some of the members of the government that don't know you, just tell us a bit about yourself. And looking at the CDA board currently, and maybe just for the two achievements of the board that you know of, but also then tell us what did you think the board can do better, and maybe also what should be done to give it a bit more team to do things better.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Hello, everyone. I'm a pensioner in inverted commas. I was in the Navy for 35 years. I retired 20 years ago as a Marine Admiral. I became involved in, before that, my background is in human resources development, strategic planning, and this is the sort of work I have done. When I left the Navy 20 years ago, I chaired the National Training Board. And then the consultancy work to get SACWA on the go. With the unfortunate result of trying to get an outcomes-based education and training system going, possibly a little bit too early. I got involved in the drug scene primarily 20 years ago because my late wife was an alcoholic who went for treatment. And when my little son was killed by a drunk driver, we got involved in aftercare. And I've been involved in aftercare ever since. My youngest son is now 6 years clear of over-the-counter medication. Became involved with the CAD, which is an aftercare organization. And because of my work in the aftercare organization and strategic planning, I then wrote a book on aftercare. Lifestyle Change to Be Addiction, and continue to teach this around the country. From the CDA's point of view, one must understand that the CDA is essentially a part-time organization, in the sense that the 12 experts who are your responsibility, as it were, for appointing, the 12 experts are people who are normally involved in occupations elsewhere doing other jobs, and then the 16 departmental and entity representatives have the job of working with the CDA as a very small part of their end result. We therefore find ourselves in a situation where we have a board of which only a few can spend the maximum amount of time with it. We do expect at least 2 hours a day from people, but it doesn't always work out that well. A few of us spend 5, 6, 7 days a month full-time working on it. But looking at the functioning, there are a number of things that the CDA would need to do it better. And I'll start by making the point that the previous Minister of Social Development made the point at one of our meetings that the CDA is an authority without authority. The Act gives us authority, but in effect that authority is not exercised primarily because of the position of the CDA within the organization. And when I was last here talking, we talked about, with the DG, we talked about the position of the CDA and the fact that ostensibly and in terms of the Act, the Department of Social Development reports to the CDA, but in fact the CDA is part of the social development, and as he called it, it is an incestuous relationship. So it's problematic. So the first thing one would need to do is to sort out the authority position of the CDA, and that has been studied by Deloitte and Touche, and they came up with a recommendation for a structure which would make that possible. In terms of what has happened in the last number of years, one needs to go back and realize that when we took over in 2006, we were given the approved National Drug Master Plan, but the National Drug Master Plan at that time had no measures built into it. There was no concept at that time of impact, outcomes, outputs, etc. So that we were left to put together a business plan based on that. We put together a business plan based on that and then worked on that basis for the last number of years. In terms of the business plan, we were to an extent handicapped by the fact that CDA's position does not give financial control over its funding. Only recently have we been able to get some form of control over funding, and only recently been able to get some of the things we wanted to be done. Be that as it may, the National Drug Master Plan of the time and its business plan, or its operational plan, called for the establishment of a supporting infrastructure. The supporting infrastructure requires what we call a provincial substance abuse forum in each of the provinces, which in reality ought to be a mini CDA, representative of all the departments and representative of business and the local people in the area. Each of the substance abuse forums is meant then to have a number of local drug action committees, people on the ground, the people in the community who would then become involved in solving the problems that are contained in the National Drug Master Plan. In the last 6 years, we have managed to get all 9 provinces lined up with substance abuse forums, not all working as well as they should, but all functioning, and 238 at the last count local drug action committees going. So that in effect we have an infrastructure there which is in terms of its structure is able to do what we're after. It does need the next aspect of it. The next aspect of it is the mistake we made 6 years ago. When we started the CDA, we had assumed, and correctly or incorrectly, we had assumed that everyone in the CDA, A, knew about the drug problem, had enough information about the details of the drug problem and how to deal with it to be able to function effectively. We were wrong. It's taken some time to realize that many people in the country, including in the early days members of the CDA, don't really know the extent of the problem. Secondly, we assumed that the people who were our departmental representatives would themselves be responsible primarily for dealing with the problem of drugs. We were wrong because in many cases departmentally the job is considered an extra. And we have not got the full-time attention of the representative of the department. To the extent that many of them, changed over the last 6 years. And we had a variety of people coming along, never quite being sure who is what. So the second aspect to make the TDA work better is in effect, A, in the selection, which is the process you're doing now, and B, in the CDA itself, developing in the people that work with it sufficient. mind and intelligence on the drugs to be able to deal with the problem. So that a member doesn't ask you, when you talk about coke on the streets, she doesn't ask you if that's the stuff in the brown bottle. Because that was literally the question of the hour. The third aspect, so starting with the appointment of the developer, the third aspect is the National Drug Master Plan itself. We have, in the last 2 years, spent time taking the results of the biennial summit, which many of you attended, and the results of the survey into communities, to turn those into a list of needs that we have to satisfy in order to sort out the problem. And if I step aside for one moment and say, in the last 6 years, the international approach to the drug problem has shifted from a war on drugs to primary prevention as a means of doing it. And the National Drug Master Plan, as it is now written, is based on the concept that if we wish to win, we have to get the communities involved and get the communities, in fact, to take the lead in dealing with the problem in their own areas, which means that they too have to be developed through the infrastructure. The National Drug Master Plan sees this as its basis, and in fact sees itself as the first of a series of plans which go towards changing the culture in the community from acceptance of drunkenness over the weekend, for example, to condemnation of that and to providing alternatives. The communities told us in effect what they wanted, and we have tried to build this into the National Drug Master Plan. At the same time, we have taken the government's 12 outcomes and translated those into outcomes related to the drugs problem and to the communities, and produced a set of outcomes for impact and outcomes for the National Drug Master Plan based upon government's requirements as well as the requirements of the community. So we now have a set of outcomes, and we have for the first time translated these into outputs and put these out for the provinces in effect to turn these into some form of reality. Perhaps the next part of this, and that is once the National Drug Master Plan has been through your hands, is to turn that National Drug Master Plan into a set of outcomes for which the provinces and the local drug action committees are required to report back, on which they're required to report back. This is going to mean that the role of the CDA in the provinces and the local drug action committee level would increase. At this stage of the game, each member of the CDA, each of the 12 experts, is allocated a province, as a mentor, as it were, over the province. And this is going to have to increase, and the workload will increase, to get the provinces to be able to interpret the National Drug Master Plan in terms of what's required. It's going to require our going out more frequently and mentoring them, going out and measuring what is being done, and changing our reporting system to make it happen. We would like to be able to report back at the end of each year on the change in the number of people under the influence of drugs and alcohol, but at this stage of the game our data is not fully up to date. Some of the stuff we have is 4 or 5 years old, so that one of the major tasks of the future would be to update the database, keep that database updated, and to link that database to databases throughout the country and internationally, so we would be able to measure more frequently the success of the CDA in terms of the changes in the number of people and the influence of drugs. And that, of course, brings me to the last point. In order to be more effective, we have to have the money to make it work and have to have control over that money. And at the moment, we don't have that.
Doctor, there's been criticism that the departments haven't been submitting their reports on time to the CDA. What can the CDA do to strengthen their case, I suppose, in ensuring the department adheres to deadlines. Because it seems to be an ongoing problem for several years.
Could I say to you that the basis of the problem lies with the fact that the department's reports remain incomplete until they're accepted by the department, by the Minister of Health. And the present requirement is, in terms of the Act, the TDA submits its report by the end of June on the foregoing year. The problem is that the departments have not yet, by that time, had their reports accepted. So we have negotiated with them that they will give us what is acceptable and confirm it by the time they're due to put in our report. That's the one aspect. The other aspect is, departmentally and in terms of provinces, the bulk of the reporting is done in terms of activities in what we do. So that, for example, and I had this at the Gauteng Substance Abuse Forum the other day, the Department of Trade and Industry at the Substance Abuse Forum was reporting on its achievements, and its achievements were in terms of the number of people reached. And the message that went out very clearly that day was, we're not interested in the number of people we reach. We want to know the effect of what you're doing, the impact of what you're doing. And departments are not yet in a position to report that. That's the one. The second thing is that, or the third thing is that we have developed what we call the QUASAR, a quick analysis of substance abuse reporting, which is a short report form which can be completed by departments and give us the effect of what they're doing in time for us to report. Unfortunately, only four or five departments have so far understood and been able to do it, and the same goes with the provinces, four or five provinces. So we have progress, but we haven't yet got as far as we need to get. So the other point, and this goes back to the starting point, is that our approaches to departments, we have tried several times to get to the heads of the departments to inform them of the problem, to work with them on the problem, but the CDA's position is such that it's not seen as being worthy of going to the head of the department.
Honourable Father?
Thank you, Chair. Doctor, I would like to know, I've heard everything almost that I wanted to hear, but what I also want to know is, to give the TDA more teeth, what would you suggest? Is there any suggestion that you believe that the TDA would help the TDA to perform better, to have teeth, to actually being able to almost force it on departments to get outcomes?
Yes, if one looks at both the existing and the new Act, the existing Act says the CDA is there to give effect to whatever the National Drug Master Plan is. The last paragraph in that same section reads, give advise the Minister. And the interpretation of that section has been that we're there to advise the Minister. That's one of them. The primary role is in fact to give effect to make it happen. And if that give effect to were emphasized, the fact that we are then required to make sure, A, that departments put together their national, their departmental plans, that provinces do the same, and that we are required to monitor and evaluate, as we have spelled out in the new Act, that would make go a long way to making it happen. What is also needed, unfortunately, is to my mind, to clearly separate the CDA from the departments of the Department of National Social Development, National Department of Social Development. Because at this stage of the game, the CDA is seen to be a sub-directorate or a directorate at times within the departments. Progress has been made, but progress has not been sufficient. The studies that have been made have said either created as an entity or as a government organization standing separately, and then enforce the law as it stands. The law as it stands enables the CDA to do what it should do, but we're not being allowed in fact to do what we're supposed to do.
Honourable
Clarke.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Doctor, South Africa is experiencing high rate of substance
changes associated with suffering activities? And how do you think the CBA can play a meaningful role in addressing those challenges?
Thank you, yes, thank you. Let's look at the problem as seen, first of all, by the user. And I hesitate to say repentant, but that's what people do. What we have is a situation in which an individual who becomes dependent on drugs has a guarantee of no cure. In other words, there is no way that you can cure a person who has a dependence. Again, my late wife is the example. She was clean for 17 years, but any time we had a drive, she had to lock herself in the kitchen to convince herself that she could be here before the drive. I had a call on Monday night from an individual who has been clean for 4 years, and his wife said he's disappeared, and he's taken $2,000 out of his account, and we don't know where he is. He had been under strain from losing his job, and have therefore taken back the cocaine. So on the individual side, it's a question of there is no cure. The only cure is abstention. And that means that one of the things the CBA needs to look to is to see that the treatment pattern includes aftercare and reintegration into society, a lifetime program. So that's the one of the things we need to look at. The other aspect that we need to look at aligned to that is to ensure that the treatment centers which are there in effect are treating for the drugs that are being used. And I will give you the example. The Cape Tip is something which is well known. In Mamelodi it is Niope, a mixture of Dhaka and heroin. In Durban at this stage of the game you have Wunga, which is a mixture of ARVs and battery acid and Ratix, and so it goes on. And these are the things that people take. And I say this deliberately to show you that it is not something people can control. I mean, you wouldn't take Ratix if you knew what was in there. But that Ratix makes the blood flow more quickly and makes the kick come in so much more quickly. So that's what people do. So on the individual side, we have to ensure that the treatment centers which do this, and there are not enough treatment centers as it is, but the treatment centers which do this are registered, i.e. they meet the qualifications that are required to have. On the greater side of things, what we have to do over the longer term, the National Drug Master Plan calls for an integrated strategy which deals with supply reduction, stopping the stuff getting onto the streets, which in itself is a massive problem. Demand reduction, which is teaching people they don't really need it, and then harm reduction, which is still controversial in the South African sense, but in effect is to reduce the amount of harm done when people do actually take the stuff to cure them. But this is not just for the individual. This is for the individual's family and the community in which he lives. So for example, when my wife was under treatment, it was not just my wife who was under treatment, my entire family was in trouble. The entire family needed support. So we're talking about the treatment itself, we're talking about long-term aftercare and integration with the society, we're talking about a long-term program to change the culture and the approach of people towards this. Give you the example. I work with people who treat these things every week, and if I ask them the question, what does the word dry mean to you? Immediate reaction is beer. And that is something they can no longer have. And to make them realize that is problematic. But it does mean that we have to change the culture of the community so that dry is not automatically beer. So that not 37% of our population become binge drinkers over the weekend, so that we don't celebrate when the farmer wins with as much beer as we can use, or when the farmer loses with even more, but that we have a culture which says it is unacceptable. And only when we have got that far are we going to start to beat the battle. But of course, you can't do that without the other two aspects of the integrated strategy. It's a long-term solution.
Thank you. Honourable Makunai.
Let me just step up to do this question.
we look at the first part of the question, the message, as it were, the message that is needed to change the culture, one understands it's going to take a long time. But what we already have is that each of the provincial substance abuse forums has, as part of their National Guard Master Plan, getting out there and and teaching children. And we have the Cambodia programs on which we spend millions. The SAP services go out to schools and teach the children the same thing. There are all sorts of drug and alcohol education programs out there. And at our recent our recent general meeting with CDA, we got feedback from all the provinces indicating that they are, to a large extent, swamping the population with messages that this is not good for you. So the communication side is there. We need to do more. I mean, we are, to a large extent, amateurs in the communications world. We haven't, for example, started using teletext or started using the Facebook and Twitter to make this happen. I was at a conference recently where one of the organizers who was involved with the CDA had in fact started up a program with a private company using the cell phones of the students to warn the students about the problems of drinking on campus. And they had tremendous success. So on the communication side, we have a long way to go, but it's an expensive hobby. Well, the second part of it, the second part deals with how do we as a CDA get involved in doing these things? And how do we balance the need for profit in a business with the need to cut back on the problem as we see it? One needs to look at this, the totality of the population. If you accept that 6% of our population, adult population aged 15 to 64, 6% are substance dependent, alcohol dependent. That's a very small percentage of the market as far as SA Breweries and others are concerned. 49% of the population don't use alcohol at all. The group in between is the group that the breweries and others are working with. But breweries and others also need to understand that they can only increase their profits to an extent that does not damage these people. And it's when these people start to become harmed that 6% at the top of the program, the dependence, becomes worse. So our message, in fact, to the users to the sellers, and the sellers of tobacco, let's leave them aside for the moment, but to the sellers of alcohol is, you need to look very carefully at your market to ensure that what you are doing is not increasing the addiction problem and not merely increasing yourself. And that data we don't have at this stage of the game. But if I say to you that we reckon there would be 220,000 people a year minimum who would need treatment at our treatment centers, and our treatment centers can deal with 17,000 to 20,000, you can see the size of the problem. But the message that I was getting the other day, for example, from the trade and industry is you can't stop people taking and prevent us from making a profit. We have to reach a balance somewhere along the way. Because if it doesn't happen, the age of dependence is dropping all the time. My eldest boy had a youngster in his school a little while ago, living in Dhaka, 7 years old. We have people who are dependents at 12 years old. And if we don't create that balance between the drugs on the market, alcohol and other drugs on the market, and what is being used by our youngsters, we're going to lose all our youngsters in the future.
Okay, thank you for saying that.
Thank you very much. This went to ask the test whether the CDA does have agreement in power to put in before provinces to account on voters and the effectiveness of the program. If the CDA doesn't have that, or if they don't account, what can the CDA board do? What is the CDA required to do if they do account? Because I believe the CDA depends on the reports that are made from the provinces. Now the reports and the annual report is delayed because they don't account. Then what causal link that could be here to do us favour. But the second question is, Doctor, there are loose medicines in Africa out there, all over the country. Now, did you have a list of the licensed ones? And what happens with the unlicensed ones? And how do you think it can be controlled? These people all over having taverns, having liquor outlets and everything. How do you think it can be controlled? And lastly, if you can be appointed as a board member, how are you going to make it a point that the recommendations that were made in the conference in Durban are implemented as soon as possible? Thank you.
Just before you continue, I just want to ask the last question. You can respond to both of them. Is there any truth to the fact that cinnamon and cayenne pepper is also not being used?
Mm-hmm.
Cinnamon and cayenne pepper are also being used.
Let me respond to the last one first. Just as people put into just as they put latex and battery acid into Wunga cake, so they put cayenne pepper and anything else that will give them an immediate lift, false or otherwise, into whatever they do. The fact of the matter at the moment is that neither those two have been proven to be drugs of themselves.
Mm.
There is, for example, the Kuba on the market. We talked about Kuba. Kuba is a nicotine-based drug. We still haven't got the full details of its use. But as a nicotine-based drug, all we can really say is it can't be bought by people under the age of 18. When we know the composition in terms of the drugs that are there, just to hammer on this, it came out again in our discussion the other day. Unless the component parts of these new drugs are listed, and unless those component parts are in fact registered by the NCC and the problematic, there's very little we can do about this. So that's part of the role of the CDA. In terms of the authority of the CDA, the Act gives the CDA authority, as I said at the start. Both Acts do that. The fact of the matter is that positioned as we are unable to exercise that authority. For example, it becomes problematic as time goes along. One of the things that we tried to do in order to impose authority, we suggested the formation of an interministerial committee to get all the departments involved at ministerial level so that their representatives would have to, on the CDA, would have to report their ministers on progress. To an extent, this is starting to work. The CDA is unfortunately not involved often enough in the IMC's work. But as I said at the start, the Act gives us the authority, the positioning of the CDA, the fact that it doesn't have its own executive staff and it doesn't have its own funding, sufficient funding, restricts what it can do. If I drop on to the second part of your question, what is this, can the CDA do about the registered and unregistered shebeens and taverns and what have you? We have a member on the CDA who is from the Department of Trade and Industry who have the job of checking up on and working with and supervising the issue of licenses and monitoring them. And part of that person's role would be to report that sequence and that reporting as part of the annual report. Now, beginning to realize that this is what needs to be done. And as with all these things, it's a learning process that we have to do. On the last one, how do we ensure that the things that we learned from the communities in the Durban workshop, a small team of the CDA spent several weeks analysing what came out of that and linking that to what we know of the problem throughout the country, and we have now integrated that as part of the integrated strategy into the National Drug Master Plan, which is still to come before you. And that requires us to identify frequently the community's need and to measure their performance, our performance against the community group. And one of the things that we're building into the reporting system for the future is that the provinces and the local drug action committees will need to get out into the communities and find out what's happening in the communities, A, and B, involve the communities in the local drug action committees so that we can see what is happening. The problem, again, is to an extent financial, but it's also a problem of getting people with enough passion and enough time to go out there and do the analysis and to find the solutions for it.
Thank you very much. Any other follow-up questions?
Just one. Thank you very much. Doctor, taking into account your knowledge on drugs and substance abuse, if, for example, you were allocated by X more functions, in other words, if the egg gives you teeth now, how would you use your teeth to combat the spot of drug and substance abuse?
Very interesting question, but let's just have a look back at the basic strategy. We're saying there are three aspects. There's the demand reduction, supply reduction, harm reduction. Now if one looks at the departments involved, the harm reduction is primarily a medical problem as we see it at the moment, although it's linked very much to social development. Now, what we have asked health to do, for example, is to analyze for us and give us enough information on what is happening in hospitals and the distribution of medication, etc. If we had the power, we would then be able to get to health and indicate to health exactly what it is we needed to know in order to measure what we would achieve. They're the experts in the field, so they're the people that would be able to tell us what needs to be done, but we would have, from the CDA's point of view, be able to empower ourselves to measure what their achievement is. On the demand, on the supply reduction side, there are SARS, SAPS, correctional services and others are involved in the process of stopping the stuff from coming into the country. We don't know at this stage of the game. We don't have a good enough analysis to tell us where it's coming, how much is coming in, and what effect our stopping it has. We have to get that information, and to get that information requires us to tap into their databases as well as into their international databases. The police, for example, have a special link to the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, where they report on a monthly basis the changes in trends. We don't get that information at this stage of the game, so we're not able to do so. On the demand reduction side, the biggest area that we need to concentrate on is on the children. And it means finding the funds and finding programs which work and use the technology that the children use in order to get the message across to them. We have at this stage of the game a situation where, for example, the police would go in and the education people would go in and give talks to the children. And the kids ignore them. They say, we know all these things. They're not really interested. But if we could tap in, for example, their technology, the cell phone, the iPads and all the rest of it, we could get the message across. But we would have to get the message across and measure its effect. And at this stage of the game, measuring the effect is something that people are very, very cheering to do because it's frightening.
Last question.
Would you rather be called acne vaginal?
Let me say to you that several years ago my late wife said to me, I'm tired of being Mrs. Admiral, Mrs. Professor, Mrs. Doctor, I just want to be Annette.
So thank you very much, Dr. Evelyn. It's been quite interesting listening to you. It's been quite an interesting thing. Thank you
very much indeed.
Members, we're going to have a lunch break. What's the time now? 12:30. We've got about 3 minutes left, so we can finish really early. Yeah. So it's 12:30. Can we be back at 1:30?
that one that starts just standing around having nothing to do.
I need to put something in.
It's
about an hour, maybe you can run to your office. I think lunch is right. It's supposed to be a help for how you can not call me.
You can lunch, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.